the word go forth.
Fool me once.
Are you fired up?
If I'm not a crook.
Are you ready to go?
Shame on you.
It's Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, hosted by Ben Kissel.
Boom, we can't get fooled again.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here, hanging out with Travis Irvine.
Hello, Ben.
And Fernando.
Hello, Ben.
Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing well out there. We have another fantastic episode for you. A bit later on, we're going to break down some polling data on what Americans think of the term woke.
Ooh,
it'll be fascinating. Also, we'll tell you all about what's going on in Florida. There was a blogger bill, but a lot of people were upset with this blogger bill. So the person that introduced it has pulled it, but we will discuss the ramifications going further when it comes to our First Amendment rights being eroded.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But before we get to all of that, plus much more, let's discuss CPAC. Oh, my God. What happens when you throw a party and no one shows up?
Oh, no.
Isn't it sad? Oh. I almost feel like we need a GoFundMe for Matt Schlapp and CPAC because they're so sad. No one showed up to their bash.
Boo. All that money would go to like lawsuits, though. We don't want to give them any money.
No, we're also going to talk about the guy who accused Matt Schlapp of groping his crotch during the Herschel Walker campaign, as if that campaign couldn't suck anymore. Then you got Matt Schlapp trying to suck your cack. So the guy finally came out and admitted who he is, because, of course, Schlapp was like, he's just a no-name accuser. This entire thing is a fraud. But the man did come forward and say that he was the dude who was groped by Mr. Schlapp. And that man's name is Carlton Huffman.
Ooh.
He's a 39-year-old man. He's a longtime aide to Republican campaigns. He lives in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he plans to amend his previously anonymous lawsuit, which seeks $9.4 million in damages for the alleged sexual battery and defamation. This is what Huffman said in an interview with Washington Post. He said, I'm not backing away. I'm not going to drop this. Matt Schlapp did what he did, and he needs to be held accountable. Schlapp, 55 years old, has denied Huffman's claims, saying that he would never grope a man's crotch unless it was Donald Trump's.
Yum, yum, yum.
Indeed. So, CPAC, not exactly what it has been in years past. However, they did get a big fish. Donald Trump spoke. So we have some sound from CPAC. Donald Trump's speech, let's just listen to like 30, 40 seconds of it, and then we can break down the presentation and where he is trying to angle himself for the 2024 presidential campaign. Let's play it.
Their reign is over. Their reign will be over, and they know it. And America will be a free nation once again. We're not a free nation right now.
Oh,
we don't have free press. We don't have free anything.
No free press.
In 2016, I declared, I am your voice.
Oh.
Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution.
Whoa! He's going full Batman.
Yeah.
What are you? What are you? I'm vengeance. Whoa!
Like that.
So he's no longer just their voice. He's now their warrior. He's their justice. He's the person who will represent all that have been wronged and betrayed. Of course, this is also a man who's a known con man, and the idea that he is going to stand up for free press is unbelievable that that's the angle he's taking. What do you think, Travis? Do you think CPAC, obviously Donald Trump won the straw poll, along with Carrie Lake winning the straw poll for who wants to be VP?
Ooh, Fernando's prediction coming true.
Call me now.
What do you think, Travis, as far as this angle that Trump is going for?
I mean, how far the mighty have fallen. Like you said, CPAC, it just doesn't have the same oomph that it used to.
No, it doesn't.
Everyone would be there. I remember 2016, all 17 presidential candidates showed up. I mean, this year, Ron DeSantis did not show up. Keep in mind, he's the other side of this, of all the leading polls. It's him versus Trump. And I think he really made a smart move by not going, not only because he kind of looks like an anti-Trumper, almost like a never-Trumper, even though he basically has Trump's message. But also, he probably avoided getting booed by all the Trump supporters who did show up, which, by the way, was only about half the room. That's at what Donald best. Trump played for at best. Man,
Kimberly Guilfoyle, when she was speaking and they cut to the crowd and it was like eight people and they all had crusty cum on their pants. And then she was still presenting as if she was Minnie Adolph. She doesn't know how to speak to a crowd, so she just pretends like she's this grandiose speaker. But when all the seats are empty, man, it looks different than if there's a roaring crowd, doesn't it?
You see, I had complained that we didn't get a lot of video, and now I'm really thankful that I was wrong because it's just been a treasure trove of hilarity. There was that one guy that DJ that snuck in and started playing Fuck Donald Trump in the middle of a Trump, like the Trump speech. So, you know, there was even trolls there. So
DJ's revenge.
I was
absolutely
good.
And our friends, the Good Liars, were standing outside warning everyone that there was a grown man wearing fake hair and makeup performing inside, aka drag. Look out. There's drag at CPAC. Oh, wait, it was Donald Trump.
Indeed. And of course, the anti-drag bills have been blowing up in a lot of the politicians' faces that have been pushing them forward. Of course, most of them have pictures of themselves in drag. So let's discuss a little bit when it comes to freedom of the press. This is an interesting area. And I think Ron DeSantis, we discussed this on the show that you weren't able to make it on last week, Travis, with Ron DeSantis, knowing CPAC is Trump country, also knowing that CPAC is embroiled in a whole series of controversies and scandals, and perhaps a politician like Ron DeSantis doesn't want to be seen around certain people, and also knowing that he's going to lose the CPAC straw poll. So why bother showing up
if
you're not going to win? One of the things that Ron DeSantis was pushing for and now has retracted his support of is a bill that was filed by this dude named Jason Broider. He is a Republican out of Lake Mary in Florida. He's a state senator. He introduced a bill that would require bloggers to register with state officials if they make any profit from their posts about elected officials in the state. At first, Ron DeSantis was all on board. Ron DeSantis was talking about taking the narrative back, and we're not going to allow the internet trolls to dictate how we govern. Okay. Now, of course, this is a massive violation of our First Amendment rights. Right. The bill has been retracted, as I said, because now Ron DeSantis and many people of his ilk have said, no, never mind. Let me backtrack a little bit. I don't like that idea whatsoever because it gave someone like Donald Trump this very bizarre angle to say that he is the candidate of free press and peace.
Wow. Right. Yes. Well, and obviously, if you're listening to anything that Roger Stone says, which, you know, you got to take with a grain of salt, maybe even like a bushel of salt. But when Roger Stone says something, Donald Trump says it about a week later. And keep in mind, Roger Stone's been pumping out there that Trump will be running as the peace candidate in 2024. He's even been criticizing Ron DeSantis's stance on Ukraine, because Ron DeSantis will criticize Biden's support of Ukraine, but then he kind of stops there. He doesn't answer the question, what would you do differently?
Right.
And so Roger Stone and Donald Trump are now probably going to try to paint Ron DeSantis as the anti-press candidate, but also the pro-war candidate, which will not go well with Trump's base at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, this bill that has been retracted, but again, this was just these politicians, they were flirting with how far can we go to erode the First Amendment in this country?
Right.
They were just like looking at it, making the eye, seeing it across the bar. And as they got a little bit closer, they realized that that person isn't what they thought it was at all. And then they had to leave alone once again. So this bill, and people will continue to try to push bills like this in the future. So this is why this is important, because this isn't the first time we're going to see it. What it would do was people who are bloggers that, again, blog about government officials, they would face fines ranging from $25 to $2,500 per post per day that registration is not completed.
Whoa.
So the idea that they want individual bloggers to register with the state if they are talking about state officials is such a conflict of interest and so horrible. Right now, Ron DeSantis says he doesn't control every single bill that has been filed or amended and has said, after Newt Gingrich came out and said that this is embarrassing and insane, has now said he also does not approve of this bill. But without a doubt, if the polling data and the narrative would have gone in his direction and people would have said, yes, I hate those pesky bloggers at HuffPo.
Okay.
If it would have worked out and it would have been politically advantageous, he'd be on board with this in a freaking heartbeat. He doesn't give a shit about the First Amendment. He just realized, again, as we just mentioned, that this gives Trump an angle to somehow talk about how we need a free press.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, he realized that his own shit stank, basically. And keep in mind, I do wonder with Donald Trump if he would be against something like that, because most of the positive press about Trump happens from bloggers. It happens from conservative blogs and little fake news sites, you know, like one person who started their own website. I mean, that's, again, another Roger Stone special. Roger loves getting little anonymous news websites to start posting trash about any Trump opponent. So, you know, yeah, Trump, that's a, one of the best weapons in his arsenal is bloggers. Mm.
And that, of course, is a technique. It's 101. It's circular logic, right? So you have, like, you set up something on what? Daily Wire. And then the Daily Wire cites Breitbart. And then Breitbart cites InfoWars. Yeah. And you have a triangle of stupidity, but all of them technically have sources, but they're all themselves. And it makes everyone dumber because of it.
So that's what I was trying to understand, like the angle of why blogs. And I was like, why not podcast? Why not, you know?
Well, what's next?
Well,
podcast would be next.
Yes, that's what I assume. Unless he doesn't understand that that's how podcasts work. And he's such a zoomer that he's like, it's the blogs.
It's the blogs.
It's the Tumblr destroying America.
MySpace caused me a lot of problems. I had 8 friends and I was constantly rearranging them from number 1 to number 8 based on how nice they were to me that week. It caused a lot of kerfluffle. This is
I'll tell you who my best friend was on MySpace, that guy Tom. He never did anything. He just winked at you from the mirror. That was it.
Tom did it right. He sold that company for a couple of billion. I haven't heard from him since. He's the only tech guy that I've ever enjoyed. You know you've done something wrong when Newt Gingrich says that it's wrong. Like when Newt Gingrich says that's going too far to erode our civil liberties.
A man
named Newt, who I've met many times. I've met him and his wife, Callista. And Callista hates children. And one of the funniest things is she wrote a children's book to make her look like a human being when Newt Gingrich was running for president, kind of. Every time I see Newt Gingrich, I just think, that's all for folks, because he's such a little pig. And his butt's so funny. If you see Newt in real life, bro, you're just like, boom, 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 boom,
the tuba boom, sound. Boom, 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 boom.
He is just such a little elephant, fucked a pig, and became a politician. So this is what he said. He said, the idea that bloggers criticizing a politician should register with the government is insane. And in a strange world, I'm agreeing with Newt.
Whoa.
He says, it's an embarrassment that this is a Republican state legislator in Florida who introduced a bill to that effect. He should withdraw it immediately. So at least there was some kind of sense of freedom of speech, freedom of press within the establishment wing of the Republican Party. But let's not forget, Newt Gingrich came to power in 1996 with the Limbaugh Congress.
Right.
And all he did was erode our civil liberties at every single possible turn. And then mostly focused on Bill Clinton's jizz.
yes, of course.
So please, Newt Gingrich is no fighter for the working person or for the rights of us. But that just goes to show you how crazy this freaking bill is. Mm. But then we also live in a world where the man wrote it, his staffer submitted it. The guy was like, what a winner this is.
Mm.
That is a very dangerous thing to have start happening, where these politicians are just flirting with completely getting rid of 1A.
Absolutely. I mean, and like you said, they've been flirting with this stuff for a while, right? Ron DeSantis' administration, they keep going a little bit further. We're going to rein in the big corporations who aren't paying their fair share of taxes. Now they're going after teachers. They're going after classrooms. You know, they're just basically testing their big government overalls and seeing when they get too big. And when they get too big, then they got to switch back to the smaller pair. And I think, to your point, Ben, this is one of those instances where I was just like, okay, we went too far. And let's rein it in and never talk about it again.
Absolutely. So critics say the bill is just another part of Florida's ongoing fight with the First Amendment. In a statement on SB 1316, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, also known as FIRE, they actually got an acronym that sort of works.
I like it.
Yes, FIRE.
Fun.
They have said that this is obviously an affront to our First Amendment and the national commitment to the freedom of press. Fire says the First Amendment protects not only a free press, but the right to speak anonymously. In this case, I'm really emphasizing the word free because they're discussing if you make money off of covering politicians, we're going to want to hubba a little bit of kickback on that, which is another example of how greedy these fucking pieces of shit are. So the First Amendment protects not only a free press, but the right to speak anonymously, a cherished tradition from America's earliest days when anonymous pamphleteers played a crucial role in founding of our constitutional republic. Mm-hmm. Today, they go on to say, today our nation's protection of anonymous speech is the hope of dissidents worldwide, yet SB 1316 would compel Americans who exercise their right to criticize a state's highest official to reveal themselves to the very government that they criticize, which obviously would have a silencing effect on speech in this country.
I'm looking at it from another angle. What if Ron just didn't want to pay for talking bad about Biden?
Maybe.
You know, it's
I mean, this hurts everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he went with it and then realized it's like, oh, I'm going to have to pay too for all the dumb shit I say on blogs or,
because Travis makes a solid point as far as ingenuity and as far as using the internet for their own political gain. In many ways, the right has done it better with their blogs, with, you know, the 4chan platforms. It's really become a massive breeding ground for fringe conservative thought becoming mainstream.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the idea that this Republican was like the blogs are the thing that's hurting the Republican Party. I don't even think he understands it, how much the blogs help the Republican Party.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the only people who showed up to CPAC this weekend were the bloggers who had something to they need something to write about and get pictures and go, you know, cheer for Guilfoyle to yell. What does she always yell at her speeches? The best is yet to come. That's what it is.
She always yells the best is yet to come.
So the anonymous thing stood out to me about the anonymous bloggers, but also why the Matt Schlapp accuser eventually came out was because the case was going to be dropped if he remained anonymous, correct?
I think that he was just going to, was it going to be dropped?
It's something along the lines of basically, I think Schlapp and Mercedes Schlapp, Matt and Mercedes Schlapp, again, I just still can't believe her name is Mercedes, but nonetheless, because they are both named in the lawsuit, I think it was actually their attorneys kind of squeezing. They wanted this guy to not be anonymous for the lawsuit to go forward. And so that is basically what he had to do. And now, you know, honestly, after seeing how CPAC was a nothing burger, in terms of how many politicians showed up and the actual influence it has, maybe that's what compelled this guy to say, you know what? Yeah, this Matt Schlapp doesn't have the power he used to. I don't need to be anonymous. I'm going to show myself because Schlapp is wrong and he's going down and not in the fun way.
Absolutely. All right. I want to talk about this new poll coming out when it comes to the term woke. This was a USA Today Ipsos poll. And when it comes to the term woke, that's been used, obviously, by Ron DeSantis. This is why he took away Disney World's sovereign citizenship, because they went too woke and they didn't approve of his anti-gay education policies. And the term woke has been used now for a long time to demonize the left or, again, large corporations who don't make their M&M sexy enough. I don't even fucking know. This term has been so weirdly used and politicized. But interestingly enough, in this poll, when it comes to the term woke, most people understand it to mean, quote, to be informed, educated on, and aware of social injustices. The poll found that 56% agreed more with a positive definition of the term woke, while 39% had a negative association with the term, and they understood it to be to be overly politically correct and to police others' words. So I am actually a little bit surprised by this polling data, because the term woke, again, it started off as something the left would say, like, be woke, like, understand criminal justice reform, understand why our systems need to be reformed, understand how the working class are getting totally fucked over. And then it sort of transformed because of the, you know, talking Tucker Carlson's Ben Shapiro's of the world into this disgusting thing where it means that you want to have sex with a child. So I think it's interesting that the American people aren't necessarily buying that. The latter. For some reason, I've just heard the term in a negative context now for, what, 3 or 4 years, then I'm a little bit surprised with the polling data that 56% of Americans say that it's a good thing to be educated on some of the more unsavory realities of our country.
I'm on the opposite spectrum, Ben. I've always thought woke was a positive term, and I've thought woke is more and more positive in the past 3-4 years because of how Ron DeSantis and the right have been using it. Mm-hmm. They've been using it as a negative term, and I'm like, it's not a negative term.
Sure.
And when you call me woke, you're calling me empathetic. You're calling me aware of social injustices, and I like that. I do like being quote unquote woke.
Well, that's another interesting thing from this poll. So Americans in the poll are divided on whether they consider the term woke an insult or a compliment.
Right, right.
So, Travis, you're in Ohio right now. What do you think from just the middle of the country's perspective? If you go out and you're at a bar and someone's like, you're woke, I would take it as an insult. I guess it depends who the messenger is, right?
That's also true.
Yeah, very much. I mean, you and I, and I mean, we're all familiar with the term woke because we watch all this Fox News. You know, we check in, we want to see what the other sides, all sides are saying. And they constantly use woke as a demonizing term, the anti-woke agenda, basically, to the left's woke agenda. But I think, kind of like CPAC this weekend, the woke agenda, no one's concerned about it. It's a nothing burger. It exists in a silo. I think the conservative media talking point silo and all these politicians going out there and talking about taking on the woke left, I don't think it works. I think it's like Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, even here in Ohio, which is dominated by Republicans, obviously, the only people who are using the word woke are Republican politicians in terms of trying to propose legislation that they think will take on the woke agenda. I don't think most average Americans, the people with their day-to-day, everyday lives, working people, I don't think they know what woke is, and I don't think they care because they're constantly having to wake up, get woke for work.
Exactly. Let's actually play a clip from a politician, Fernando. We have that clip of, I believe it's out of South Carolina. This is regarding the death penalty and this politician discussing what he wants to add to the death penalty. This is Representative Cheryl. This comes from Attorney Ben Crump's Instagram. If you don't follow Ben Crump, I highly recommend it. It is a lot, but it's important. This is actually out of Tennessee. So when people hear anti-woke, it's also on the backdrop of people like this man, Representative Paul Sherrill, just saying these sentences under oath out loud in front of people. This is a conversation regarding the death penalty. And yes, this meeting happened in 2023. Let's just play this really short audio.
Good idea. And I was just wondering about, could I put an amendment on that? It would include hanging by a tree also. And also, I would like to sign on to your bill, sir. Thank you.
So that is discussing different ways to murder people, citizens, regardless, of course, if they've committed a crime or not. I'm against state-sanctioned murder in any way. 2023, this piece of shit is discussing, why don't we also add hanging to the possibility when it comes to the House Criminal Justice Committee? And this was a criminal justice committee meeting. And why don't we just add hanging as a possibility for a punishment the death penalty? So I think on the backdrop of batshit insanity like that, perhaps the term woke is getting a little bit more of a good image. Maybe it's on an upswing because you see what anti-woke ideas are, which is to bring back lynching. So according to this, 40% of people in this poll said that being called woke would be considered an insult, while 32% would call it a compliment. 56% of Republicans said wokeness meant being overly politically correct, while 78% of Democrats understood the term as being informed, again, on social justice. So it's interesting. It's four letters. It's a word. It's woke. And within that word, we have two entirely different interpretations of what it means. Is it an insult? Is it a compliment? And I suppose in some ways, isn't that a micro example of just the binary, strange duality that we live in right now politically, because people are living in two different realities, but the term is just woke.
It's
a neutral term.
I agree. I agree with everything you're saying, but I don't know. The terms have definitely changed. Do you remember in the 90s? Maybe you remember the 90s. I kind of do.
I used to say
America needs to wake up.
But that's been said forever.
So we did. We woke up. We're woke now. So it's bad?
Yeah, but that was more like wake up and put people in prison.
Yeah, exactly. So the right, it used to be a very right statement. It used to be the anti-Clintons. It used to be the pro-Bush going,
wake up.
America needs to wake up. So now that we did wake up, we're woke. You don't like it. Okay.
DeSantis, this is what he had to say regarding the term woke. He says, we fight the woke in the legislature. We fight the woke in the schools. What is that called? How are they using the term woke there? A verb. You're smart with English, with the English language. They use it as an adverb or something.
It's a adjective.
Yeah. They're using it as an adjective, right?
I went to journalism school.
You can do that stuff. I was never good with that stuff. So we fight the woke in the legislature. We fight the woke in the schools. We fight the woke in the corporations. You know, those corporations are so woke. He goes on. We will never surrender. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. So again, it's just fascinating how this term, and it's a Rorschach test, I suppose, for your political beliefs, right? Because again, I hear the term, I'm like, yeah, we're locking up way too many people, man. The system needs to be changed. And then other people say, you're a total fucking pussy because I don't know, you care about the rights of other people.
Based.
Is that good or bad?
That's going to be a new political term here coming up, too.
I don't even know what that means. I know I am based technically by the context clues, but I don't know what that means.
I'm not sure what that means either.
I see Gen Zers using it all the time, and I'm just like, whoa, that was so based, you're so woke. And then they just stop talking to me.
Well, on the next episode, hopefully we can get together and not be in favor of the Los Angeles Police Department getting funding for robot crime fighting dogs.
We're going to get it from Boston
Dynamics.
Woke.
That is. Is that woke?
I don't know.
Well, just lastly, speaking of the economy, let's talk a little bit about artificial intelligence and how this is going to play out in this election cycle. Now, obviously, with the chatbots and the GP, it was a chat GP.
API, I don't know, whatever.
It's chat something.
It's an evil robot.
Yes. It could put a bunch of people out of work. Now, they're saying this is the new industrial revolution. And obviously, people back in, 1900, the majority of people were farmers. Now, 3% of people are farmers. People have found a way to make a living. So I don't think it's not all doom and gloom, but it is certainly a moment of transition. And especially given the legislation that was put forward by the Republican in Florida when it comes to blogging and things of that nature, bloggers might be a thing of the past altogether.
So that's why Ron DeSantis stopped pushing that bill, because bloggers won't even be a thing soon.
It'll all just be government algorithms and AI in there writing positive blogs about the people in charge, and you won't be able to delineate what's true and what's not. So the coming artificial intelligence economic revolution, a lot of people say it's going to be a major shock to the world. This is going to be a serious possibility within this next decade. People are saying, again, it'll be akin to the industrial revolution and the advent of the internet combined. So writers, human resource officers, lawyers, artists, and even coders increasingly will be replaced by AI. They are referred to as the laptop class, which I hadn't heard that term before. Maybe I'm just way behind on it. But the laptop class, I think a group of people who really thought that they weren't going to be affected by automation. You know, this goes all the way back to 70, 50, 60 years ago when, automobile plants began to fire people in droves. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, when we had robots replacing blue collar jobs, now they're going after, or now AI is going after the white collar jobs in the laptop class. Now, unfortunately for us, well, I guess I'm not that young anymore, but young people often hold these jobs,
right,
bloggers,
right.
coders, things like that. And so artificial intelligence is advancing extremely fast. It can mimic human conversations. It can copy our voice. It can write research papers. And obviously, if you've been on Instagram or social media at all, you know it can also draw really well. The AI is also generating video games, music, art, and movies. So it's going after the laptop class and the artistic class. And then you have politicians going after bloggers. This is a massive squeeze on a huge subset of our economy, which is people that make, you know, their money off of their opinion and their art and their writing.
Right.
So it's interesting now what happened in a tangible sense, you know, with the automation of our factories. It's now coming in more of a cerebral way and attacking people who I think thought their jobs were safe.
Absolutely.
I mean, I talk with this with Henry too. He's like, podcasters are safe. I'm like, I don't think so.
I don't know. I could, we could write a speech and then it could imitate your voice.
It's just, if you put all of the things I've ever said into a little machine there, it'll just come back as me.
Like a monkey at a typewriter, right? It'll eventually write Shakespeare, right?
I hope not.
Oh, wow.
Maybe Shakespeare in Love, and it's just that scene when Gwyneth Paltrow shows her boobies.
Whoa! Now, see, like that's some AI. Hello.
So, again, my thoughts on this is I'm very pro AI and I'm pro automation. As an industrial engineer, that's what I got my degree in, is in automation and improvement of processes. My issue is that there is something we talked about a few episodes ago, no framework. There's no framework for the people that lose their jobs. It would be so great if robots took all our jobs, if we had free places to live and free food and free healthcare, because it wouldn't be as much of an issue. We could dedicate ourselves to the things we love. But when you take away my
job, like jerking off in public,
whatever. I mean, if that's what you want to do, Ben, you know, not me, but if that's what you want to do.
Sure.
But again, when you take away my livelihood, but you don't replace it with something,
right.
What is left? What is left for these thousands of people?
And that's where the conversation of a UBI continues to rear its head. So ChatGPT, it does help coders right now through basic code. The chat service can also replace many of the intellect it takes to build websites. It has already passed an MBA exam and it's already passed law exams.
I love that it's doing menial stuff like building websites. What I don't want it to do is taking an artist's job. Art is should be for artists. I don't need it. I would love if it's handling paperwork, like if it's helping me fill out my welfare paperwork or helping me fill out my California healthcare aid paperwork. But I don't want it drawing Instagram pictures.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to have it do that.
Exactly.
Apparently, graphic artists are really going to be on the front lines of this as well. So it's just another erosion of the middle class and people, you know, just trying to make a living. What do you think, Travis? How much is this going to play going forward in 2024 and legislation? Something's going to have to be discussed when it comes to how much power AI is going to have.
Well, I remember, like you were saying about the automated robots that started taking over people's jobs in the factories, you know, originally that was presented as a good thing, right? The corporations will start saving money. The jobs will be easier for the employees, but now we know that they just kind of lost their jobs and had to go do something else. But even then, automation was kind of given, you know, in sci-fi novels even. It's like, oh, you'll have robots and all these things that can do all this for you, so humans can just explore space and live up to their fullest potential without having to do the laundry or make their own coffee every day. Now, AI seems to be what automated robots did in the factories. AI seems to be doing with our brains. And so now it's taking our brains, it's mimicking our brains. And that is a little more nerve-wracking for me because, I mean, all of us, we live off of our brains, our eyes. We read, we think, and then we talk. And then so if all three of those things can be replicated now, then, yeah, I think that's kind of a warning sign. There is no you in AI.
And it's all coming once it comes for you. I think people really do start to take it more seriously. What's so interesting about this is it's almost the reverse of what the Industrial Revolution was, right? Because this is AI is going to be replacing knowledge economy jobs. That's what they're knowledge economy jobs. Now, however, they point out that AI can't build a house, fix plumbing issues, give you a haircut, install lights in a public place. So it's almost for blue collar workers. they're in this way, right. They're actually not going to be as affected as they were with automation in our factories. And again, this is going to be going after, quote, knowledge-based jobs or the knowledge economy. And of course, just because you blog or talk for a living doesn't mean you're spreading any knowledge. Trust me, I know. But it's just an interesting thing where now the new industrial revolution is much more cerebral. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have politicians, again, on the other end, trying to fine people for not registering as bloggers.
Right.
It's just a nasty squeeze out of our First Amendment as a whole. Do we have a First Amendment if all of our blogs are written by the machines?
You have to feed.
And right. Then you also have to argue with an AI bot who is going to be like really smart.
Yeah, if it's passing law exams, I do not want to hang out with that AI. He will be insufferable. I'm not. If he starts buying me some beers at the bar, maybe I'll talk to him.
Yeah, but, maybe. You know,
good grief.
Look at these chatbots drunk.
It's just what makes it dystopian is we don't get the utopian aspect of it. You know, I would love to not, you know, I did call center work for a long time. It was brain numbingly boring work. Right. I would love for a robot to be able to do all those jobs, but then there's a lot of, those are people's jobs. What are they going to do?
Right. Yeah. The way it was pitched in the sci-fi novels and even the cartoons like the Jetsons is just that. Yeah, the robots will start doing your work. They'll be smart and we can all explore space and live up to our finest potential. We could all do art, but now AI is going to be doing that, basically.
I want a Rosie the robot, not a four-legged automated gun thing.
I got to say, when I go down and do serious radio on Mondays and Tuesdays, there's a little Uber robot named Franklin. And Franklin's cute, man. I got to say, I like Franklin. He's like kind of like a Wally. Wally. And he's a cute robot, and I think he's a good one. And he got stuck in traffic.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
he got stuck. Oh, my gosh.
He went and he tried to cross the street, and then the cars kept on going. And then Franklin was like, and he didn't know what to do. And I was like, oh, Franklin, you're so cute.
We got to help Franklin. Well, this also reminds me of, did you guys ever see the movie She? It was a Spike Jonze movie. It starred Joaquin Phoenix. And basically Joaquin Phoenix's character is in love with a robot, and it talks to him. It's voiced by Scarlett Johansson. She's got a really great voice. Yeah, it's a really great voice. But basically Joaquin Phoenix's character is in love with this robot, and she says all the right things all the right time because...
Yep, that's been going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. The sex bots. The nice thing is you can now have a conversation after you have wonderful sex with them.
Robot sex. Pretty soon we won't even need politicians anymore. In fact, guys, I've got this new Trump bot chat. Do you guys want to try this thing out here?
Yeah, let's ask
this thing some questions. Here, go ahead.
All right, Donald Trump. What'd you think? How do you think your CPAC speech went?
I think it went really well. I am your voice. I am your eyeballs. I'm your tummy.
Yeah, you're my tummy.
Butt now. I poop for you.
Oh, man, that's really nice, dude. That's real good, man. We've been eating real good. A lot of corn, a lot of beef.
A lot of beef. I like McDonald's. I like fries. But I hate ketchup. I'll throw it at a wall. Don't try me. I'm woke. I'm based.
Wow, it's like he's here with us.
I love it.
Chat Travi. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll be back later on this week. Hail yourselves. Talk to you soon.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.